The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. God, I don't want to do this. Jonah had a problem. God had told him to do something, and Jonah didn't want to do it. God had told him to go into the city of his enemies, into that great city of Nineveh, and tell them that he was going to destroy the city and all of its inhabitants. Now, you would think Jonah would jump at a chance like this. Wouldn't you love to have that chance to go to those people who just burn you up, to go to them and tell them that God is going to burn them up? And you could say it with authority because God told you to say it. So you think Jonah would jump at the chance to tell his enemies that they would be destroyed by God. But Jonah knew God. Jonah knew God to be merciful, to be slow of anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And Jonah knew that if he went to Nineveh, there was a chance that God would not do it. God, I don't want to do this. And so what did Jonah do? He jumped into a boat and he sailed off into the sunset, running away from God. Sometimes I think, wouldn't it be great just to skip out on responsibility altogether, to take a slow boat down to the Bahamas, to sit on the deck, sip on a cool drink, soak in the sunshine, feel that refreshing breeze coming off the ocean, and watch the pretty people go by. Just to let go of all responsibility, to not to have to deal with all the troubles in the world, to only associate with the people that you wanted to associate with, to go to work or go to school only when you felt like it, not to worry about special diets or medications, not to have to worry about studying or working or doing anything. Just do what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it. But God has a way of catching up with us. God caught up with Jonah. God sent a storm into Jonah's boat sailing out into the sunset. And the sailors on that boat were terrified because they knew that only God could send a storm of that magnitude. They were terrified, and they knew that somebody on the boat had done wrong, had angered God, and eventually Jonah fesses up that he's the one. And so Jonah is thrown overboard. The seas calm down. The sailors are safe, and Jonah is swallowed up by a big fish. Now talk about being in the pits. Sometimes we feel like life swallows us up sometimes. Sometimes things happen to us that we have no control over whatsoever. Other times things happen and we know that we are totally to blame for it and we are in big trouble. Things happen and we feel swallowed up. People take a bite out of us. Co-workers and family, even friends, sometimes just get on our nerves. Or we may hear news such as, yes, you do have a tumor and it is cancerous. Or, I'm sorry, but you flunked your math exam and you won't be able to graduate. Or, your teenage son or daughter comes bringing a friend home with them and that friend is unkempt, dirty, and smelly. And your child says, we're in love and we're going to move in together into my room. Sometimes we just feel swallowed up. God, I don't want to do this. Eventually, Jonah is spit out onto the beach. God tells him again, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them that in 40 days I will destroy their city. I think Jonah finally gets the message because he does reluctantly go. Now, Nineveh is a huge city, or was a huge city in that day and time, and as Scripture tells us, it would take 3 days to walk across that city. Well, Jonah doesn't even go halfway through. He stops at about a day's walk. And Jonah has only one line to say. That one line is that God, in 40 days, God is going to destroy the city. So Jonah delivers his line, he turns around, and he walks out. Now, here's the amazing thing about this story, is that here is an enemy of Nineveh coming in by himself, reluctantly, speaking one sentence, and yet that message is heard. People hear the message. They understand the message. They take that message to heart, and they start to mourn, and they start to repent. They cover themselves in ashes. They put on sackcloth, and they start wailing. And other people, that message starts to spread, and other people start to do the same thing. Eventually, the king sees all this stuff going on in the city and says, what's going on? And he gets the message as well, and he makes a decree that the whole city should mourn and repent, that they should cover themselves in ashes and sackcloth, and that they should fast. And maybe God would change his mind. But he doesn't just stop there. He says, the old folks need to do it. The young folks need to do it. And that's not all. Even the animals are supposed to cover themselves in ashes and wear sackcloth and also fast. Now, I don't know about you, but if I don't feed my animals, they'll let me know. And you can just imagine in this huge city of all the commotion that was going on with this fasting and with this weeping and with this mourning and with this repenting and with this praying. God hears that commotion. And he sees that the people are sincere about their repentance. And so he turns away from bringing this calamity upon the people. Jonah was reluctant. Sometimes we're reluctant to go and do what God calls us to do. God, I don't want to do this. We think, I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have enough experience. I don't have any wonderful gifts or glorious talents to be able to do this. But God is able to work through us and helps us and is with us constantly so that we can accomplish the fact. God provides everything we need, especially when God calls us to a special task. Martin Luther says in the Small Catechism, he provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all that I need from day to day. God provides us with what we need to take care of what God calls us to do. He's able to do that in spite of who we are or where we are, what station in life, the age we are, economic means, intelligence, learning, education, in spite even of those glorious gifts and wonderful talents that we may have. God is still able to work through us. God is present with us. And when we go, when we do what God has called us to do, maybe even reluctantly, amazing things happen. you will be able to see amazing things. Maybe God's calling you to go visit in the nursing home. And that's not something that you particularly like to do. But while there, you hear amazing words of faith from somebody lying flat on their back in a bed. Or maybe you're called to invite somebody to worship. And as you talk with them, you see that it does click. And that they understand. And that they are willing to come and eventually believe in Jesus Christ. And that person is saved. Maybe God is calling you to a very large purpose. Like he called Jonah. And over 100,000 people were saved. Maybe he is calling you to a ministry of just one. But God calls us. God calls us to his purpose. And when we answer, maybe even reluctantly sometimes, when we answer, hopefully we don't say, God, I don't want to do this. But rather we say, God, help me do this. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.